Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Developer Express. Become a UI superhero with DevExpress, controls, and libraries. Deliver elegant .NET solutions that address customer needs today by leveraging your existing knowledge. You can build next-generation touch-enabled solutions for tomorrow. You can download your free 30-day trial at dx.hanselminutes.com. That's dx.hanselminutes.com. Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today I'm talking with Jeremy Miller. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I am lovely. We've known each other for many years. I want to say 15-ish?
At least 10.
A long time. You've been in the .NET community for a long time. You've been in other open source communities. You've been creating open source, gosh, as long as anybody I know in our community. And I know recently you released Storyteller 4.0, which was a long-running project that you had for doing human-readable executable specifications in .NET. So congratulations on Storyteller 4.0.
Thank you.
I understand, though, that you are trying something else out. You've got another new open source project that you're helping out with.
Well, so it's a couple years in, but we have a pretty nice community around it. Working on a project called Martin with an E, named after the little weasel-like animal. Mm-hmm. That allows .NET developers to treat the PostgreSQL database as a document data store and an event store as well.
Interesting. Okay, so let's parse that out a little bit. Postgres right now has a lot of people excited. What is it about PostgreSQL that has people talking?
Well, so it's hard to beat the free and open source model, but Postgres comes with a lot of, I would say, unusual features that you don't necessarily see in a lot of other databases. For us, it was the very strong JSON and the binary JSON data types and data operators, being able to run JavaScript inside the database. Other people like it for the geo APIs and a lot of other strange things. So with one database engine, you can be using Postgres as, you know, regular relational database. You can be using it as a key value store. You can be doing JSON, making a document database, all with one installation.
Yeah, it feels like it's like the overnight success in 10 or 20 years. Like, I remember a couple of years back looking at Postgres and maybe finding it a little bit wanting. And I know a lot of people have looked at Postgres and compared it to SQL Server. And you've got, you know, SQL Server, this kind of big closed source product that people pay money for, and the Postgres is just chugging along. And I feel like in the last year or two, people have been like, wow, you can really possibly replace SQL servers with Postgres and take it in directions that SQL Server won't go.
And that's what it was for us. We're traditionally a SQL Server shop and mm-hmm. probably use it more than not, but any place where we want to go, we'd rather use a document database. We're going down the path of using Postgres now.
Mm-hmm. So you're totally happy with Postgres, but what is Martin on top of that? Why can't I just use any ORM and throw it on top of Postgres and keep going?
Well, you absolutely can. Entity Framework targets Postgres, so you're off and running with that. What a document database does is it allows you to just take an object, and really in this case, we're just serializing it to JSON and sticking it directly into the database. Hmm. So it gives you the ability to almost be schemaless, except your schema just reflects whatever your objects are. So you don't spend a lot of time working on ORM mappings. You don't have to wrestle with stuff like table per subclass or polymorphism or any other issue you hit trying to use a heavy ORM like Entity Framework and Hibernate. Mm-hmm. With Martin, change your object and it just works as long as it's serializable.
So let me try to understand this a little bit, and I'll ask a couple of ignorant questions. So Postgres and again, I might be wrong, but so correct me. It's not an object database, is it? Is it intended to be? It's a relational database.
No, it's not. We're very heavily utilizing and kind of hijacking their JSON support. So they have a slightly different type of JSON type called JSONB for binary JSON. So you're storing an already parsed out document structure in the database. So it's pretty pretty efficient to query against that and even pull out and do things like select transforms. So that's what enables us to even put a link provider on top of Postgres where all your data is really being stored as JSON blobs.
So if you are taking Postgres and, you know, hijacking or piggybacking on top of some feature that they have in order to turn it into a document database, at what point during this, like this development of this product, are you thinking maybe I'm pushing this database in a way that it's not meant to be used, or just generally using it in a way it's not meant to be used? And when does it go from proof of concept to like, wow, we can actually do this?
Well, I would argue that we're there, and we better be there because my shop has Martin in production in our biggest application. So,
did it take long to figure that out, or do we like it almost seems like, you know, let's see if this works? I'm like, wow, this actually works.
So. It took about 9 months from inception to starting to use it on our projects. And I think some other people in the Martin community were using it in production well before we were. Mm. So it took just a couple months to get the proof of concept, being able to load and save document types. It's taking 2 years and counting to build up a kind of accrete enough link support to be useful. And really, some of our biggest challenges haven't necessarily been the link or the basic documents. It's things you wouldn't necessarily expect, schema migrations, just places where JSON versus the .NET type system doesn't play too nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's reset to zero and think about this for people who maybe haven't even worked with a document database before. If I've got a customer object and it's got all kinds of things like first name and last name and address and whatnot, typically I'm going to spread that across a bunch of different tables, and I'm going to have to maintain that fidelity or lack of fidelity between how the database decides to store that object as it gets broken apart and how I like to think about it as a .NET person. In the document database world, the ideal is just that I have a customer database and I throw it at an endpoint and it serializes and I bring it back. If I'm serializing it as JSON, then I have to deal with, like you just said, the fidelity or lack of fidelity as you serialize C# to JSON. Isn't that a solved problem? Aren't we able to have full fidelity back and forth between JSON and POCO or plain old CLR objects?
We do. Some of it depends on how far you really want to customize your Newton-Soft settings, but as long as your object is completely serializable, that might cause you to relax some of the scoping rules, but maybe not. So yes, the database, what's stored in the database just reflects your objects.
Okay. So if I'm oversimplifying this and someone says, I'm going to go from a table called customer with 10 columns, and now I'm going to have a table called customer and I'm just going to have a blob and I'm going to throw JSON in there, they're going to think, well, now the database can't introspect into that, can't see into that, can't index last name. How does that work?
Okay, so let's talk about that one. So all of that is actually possible. It is possible to search within the JSON blob, especially if you're using the JSONB type in Postgres. It's quite a bit more efficient. Beyond that, so Martin gives you a couple capabilities for indexing. If you really want to, the older option we did originally is you can have something called, we call a duplicated field. Mm-hmm. So you can designate a property or field as I want a separate column for this that duplicates the data of the JSONB, and then I'm going to index that and the link support is smart enough to opt into that as it needs to. But one of the cool Postgres specific features I don't know of existing in any other database, we can create calculated indexes on JSONB expressions. So we have a syntax in Martin when you're configuring this is what I want my storage to be. So say it's a customer class and it has a last name property. So you could use a little link expression to say, I want to index on x dot last name, and have a type safe way of expressing I want an index on this because that's what I'm searching for. Behind the scenes, Martin's tackling the Postgres specific syntax and creating a database index for you.
Ah, okay. So Postgres had the ability to put JSON in it for a while. And then with 9.2, they kind of made it more native. And then 9.4 allowed you to put binary JSON. So just to be clear, so people understand, you're not just sticking a string of JSON in there. You may be sending that to Postgres, but it is storing it in a JSONB or binary format, which, you know, strips out the white space and, you know, packs it up, right?
Exactly. And on top of that, if you get in a situation where you need to do a lot of ad hoc querying, like user supplied querying or something where you have a lot of options, there's another index type that some of our users use, gen index, and I don't remember what it stands for, but it creates a more generic index all the way across the JSON document. It'll slow down your inserts and your writes, but it'll speed up your reads if you're doing a lot of querying.
And that is GIN.
Yes.
Okay. So these GIN index and this the ability to do this makes that a little bit slow, like you said, because it's an inverted index, but it makes things faster to query?
Yeah. Slow writes, but faster reads. So
okay.
You've got some tools, you've got some traditional database-like tools to optimize your storage to what you need.
Okay. So once you've used these GIN indexes, you can start, GIN means generalized inverted index, turns out. Then you can query within that data. So typically in, you're writing this SQL manually if you're talking directly to the database. So you'll do, you know, select star from and all that kind of stuff, except you can use JSON operators to dig into that. How does Martin express or project into those more JSON specific queries?
Okay. So this was a little bit unpleasant. You do have an option. You can just feed it basically a where clause yourself if you need to do something special. But otherwise, we have a custom link provider as part of Martin that it doesn't cover every possible use case because you never do, but it reads your normal link where expressions and select expressions and order by and all that goodness. And behind the scenes, that turns into the Postgres JSON operators. And that's, if you're, dear listener, if you're listening to this and you think, I want to do a library like this for myself, that's one of the hardest parts of doing something like Martin was translating from .NET expressions to the Postgres operators.
Well, there is a .NET project called NPG SQL, .NET Access to Postgres. What does Martin sit on top of, and how many layers are there?
So Martin sits on, just like you said, Martin sits on NPG SQL. So that's your ADO.NET provider for .NET. So we sit on top of that. There's a small utility library called Baseline, just the normal junk drawer of extension methods, and not many other things. That's use a TPL data flow for some of the event store.
So this isn't a massive stack that someone is going to necessarily have to feel like they're buying into. It's really a very tight, a tight layer. It's almost meant to be all one thing. You're going to think about you're going to start to think about Postgres as a real document database and maybe even an event store?
Yes. So we felt originally, well, my shop thought that we had a usage for the event store. And we had, several years ago, we'd done a spike on using Postgres as the event store. So we threw it in there. And other people from the Martin community have picked it up and used it much more than I have. Mm-hmm. But so we have an event store, the JSONB type again. It's a very convenient way to store the events, append only. The big thing Martin adds there on top of that is we have built-in projections. So you can define how I take in events and then how that turns into a read-side views, where the read-side views are just Martin documents. So say you have some kind of invoicing event store, you know, getting things like invoice created, invoice approved, whatever it's going to be. The events come streaming in, and as the events are coming in, you got a couple different hooks. You can create projections that will store either synchronously or off to the side a read side view of this is exactly what the invoice is by kind of compiling all the events.
Maybe you could say a little something about event sourcing for people who aren't familiar with it.
Oh, sure. That. Sure, sorry. So, at least as I was growing up doing software development, you had a single model where you wrote to the database, or maybe it was a domain model in your system, where you might have had an invoice class. And as operations come in, you would modify that invoice object and persist it back down. So you always had the current view, and that's really all you had. Maybe you had some extra auditing stuff behind the scenes. With Event Store, the first class citizen on writes is you bring in the events themselves. So instead of modeling a big invoice domain model object, you take in little events that model things like the invoice was created on this date. We added a line item at this time. So it comes in sequentially, and it also comes in with probably some kind of timestamp. So the challenge from doing that is how do I, through the application, how do I present to users or make judgments on what is the current state of the whole workflow? That's where the projection side comes in with Martin. On the positive note, the kinds of things you can do, and Martin does support some of this too, by having the time-stamped events, you can start to do things like see what was the state of the world at 5 days ago. So you can replay the events from the beginning to 5 days ago. So the first project I used event sourcing on, it was a system where we were trying to optimize the workflow of anesthesiologists in an operating room. So tracking events of, you know, when was the doctor present? When was the room open? When did the patient get there? We could do some temporal querying and say, what did the status of the operating room look like at noon and then 1 p.m. and play that forward and backwards to try to find out where did things go wrong? Where did things go off?
Okay. So the idea, if I understand correctly, then that the idea of event sourcing is that when some change of state happens, that change of state's captured in an event object, and then you store those objects and then you can store them in sequence so that you can, as you just said, go back and forward in time and capture the state of the system at any moment.
Exactly. So, I mean, one of the ways I think about it, for our shop, I would try to recommend event sourcing anywhere where you have a complicated workflow, but any place where you need to have historical querying or mm-hmm. maybe auditing of, you know, how long did we go from an invoice being created to being approved, that's a very good fit for event sourcing.
Okay. So can I use event sourcing features of Martin and Postgres at the same time as I'm doing the object and document database work?
Yes. It's pretty seamless. So when you're doing event capture, you can be at the same time, you can be modifying or creating all new documents while you're capturing events and do that all within the same unit of work. So it all comes in the same transaction. The projected views that Martin creates from your events can be stored as just plain Martin documents. So your read side view in your event store would come with all the same querying and link querying support that any other Martin document has.
So you've mentioned at the beginning and throughout that there's this, there's link support. And I commented that there's JSON and JSONB operators that are very JSON specific for pulling JSON out or introspecting into JSON that's living in a column. Are there link extensions that you've made that are very JSON specific, or are you forced to pass in, like you're going link until you finally like run out of the linkness of it, and then you have to like pass in a string and you have to know Postgres stuff?
And unfortunately, that's pretty well exactly it. The link support, so if you're using a data access tool today and you really like the link support in it, just send a silent thanks to whatever team that wrote that, because it's absurdly laborious.
Is it?
So when you hit limits, we've got a couple options. You can go down to straight SQL, which is... It's not a super friendly place. I think the Postgres JSON operators are wonky. Going farther, we haven't done this yet, but there's a couple other options. So because it is just Newtonsoft, what you can do is have a read-only property, a calculated property on your document object that evaluates whatever crazy expression it is that you want to check. Like, I want to reach into property A dot property B and then check a list on that and make sure that the first value is this. So an option is to make a calculated field on your document class specifically to make it easier for Martin to search by. And then in a future, it's been a planned feature forever that nobody's gotten around to, is we do have some ability to run JavaScript in Postgres. So what I'd like to do is add an extension where you can basically use JavaScript functions to do the Boolean tests. And it's even again, going a little bit farther, it would be possible to put indexes, Postgres indexes against that JavaScript. So that I'm hoping kind of becomes the end around of, if you have something that's just too weird for the link support, like it or not, everybody pretty well knows JavaScript. So let's just write a JavaScript function that can interrogate the JSON document and do it in a way where all you have to do is write a single file that just has the JSON function that takes in an object and returns, or a couple arguments and returns a Boolean. So Martin will do the extra work of wrapping it up in Postgres V8 stored procedure support and all the ugly stuff for you.
At a simplistic level, there was a time, and a lot of people will recognize this, when you're working with a relational database, and you ask it some question that went from being a really fast and easy question to ask to being a table scan, and then, you know, doing something a million times becomes a problem. In the process of using Martin against Postgres, how do I prevent asking it? How do I keep myself from asking it a question that would cause it to have to run through and look at all of the JSON and calculate it and deserialize it and think about it, kind of, and suddenly become CPU bound and not really utilize the database?
Sure. So that is a good question. So you have, it is a full database. You can do things like use the explain plan tooling. What I would really say is at that point, you just need to be testing your app and see how it performs. But with Martin, we have a little utility in Martin to, you know, test out whatever link expression you're using, and there's an extension method that'll get you to the database explain plan. So if you're good enough or familiar with that kind of verbiage, that can tell you, hey, you got a table scan going on here. And probably wouldn't be that different than normal database usage.
Okay. So then that means that as someone who might not be familiar with Postgres or might not be familiar with document databases, but I am familiar with regular kind of traditional databases, it should feel pretty comfortable, and my intuition about how things work isn't completely off.
Yeah, you would still have the traditional tools that would be telling you, hey, you're doing a table scan here on a big set of data.
Right. Now, Martin on the website, the main website for it, says polyglot persistence for .NET systems. What do you mean by polyglot in the context of you're saying it's a .NET system, and what does that mean, polyglot persistence?
Well, just from the standpoint of what persistence strategies do you want to use? So I can use Martin for the document database side. I can use Martin for event sourcing. So there's already two patterns of persistence. It's perfectly possible to use Dapper with Martin, even to some degree to use Dapper writes in the same unit of work as Martin. So now you have a micro ORM as well. And at the same token, you can use it as a pure relational database. So that's got a lot of things covered. I haven't used it, but there's also a capability of using Postgres as a key value store. So one database with or without the Martin library, and you have several very different patterns of application persistence at your fingertips.
Very cool. If I'm not comfortable, I'm comfortable with .NET and I like the idea of a document database, but maybe I'm not comfortable with Postgres. Is Postgres something that I can just install and not think about, or can I use Postgres as a service in Azure and sit, you know, Martin on top of it?
So both. So what I would say is Postgres is very easy to install. It's if you're on Mac, Brew install Postgres will put it on fast. The Windows installation is pretty easy. I haven't tried it with Chocolaty, but it's got to be there. Azure just added official Postgres support there with I got to throw a little caveat out that if you use the Azure Postgres support, so Martin has in the 2.0 version very recently, we have a way to disable the requirement for JavaScript on the database. And you'll need that temporarily until Azure adds JavaScript support to Postgres. But
excellent.
I think a good chunk of our community, quite a few of them seem to run Martin applications on AWS. And then a lot are in my own shop are interested in hosting Martinized applications in Azure.
Okay. So it's non-denominational, works everywhere.
Well, anywhere where you have Postgres.
Yeah, indeed. It's pretty mature now. You've been thinking about this since kind of 2005. You're on Martin 2.0 right now. How big is the team?
Well, so I would say, I'm still the primary contributor. We have probably four or five people that are handling questions and bug fixes and little features. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, probably another 20 that provide a lot of feedback. And I will say from a community standpoint, this is probably the best OSS experience I've ever had for people jumping in and contributing. We get people that help with documentation. We've had help with and this is actually a big deal. People, when they have problems with Martin, they'll send a pull request with a failing test that demonstrates the problem. And that's been huge, I know, for myself, being able to keep up with things. So it's been a great community for that. It's probably the best, like I said, it's probably the best OSS experience I've ever had.
What is the biggest, most like intense usage of Martin? Is it yours, or have you found someone in the wild that's going beyond what you expected?
So we don't necessarily push a lot of the advanced features ourselves. It's something that we want to get to. There are plenty of other shops that especially use the event store pretty hard, even doing some event processing off of that. Pushing features. So we have a compiled query feature. Mm-hmm. So hopefully everybody who uses Link should probably know that the exercise of parsing a Link query is actually pretty expensive. Before you even get near the database, just the act of going from here's a Link expression, turn it into a SQL command. So we have what we call a compiled query that kind of lets you stash off and only express a Link expression that you're using a lot, only parse it once, and completely remember everything there is to do to get it there. So that's been a huge challenge. People using a lot of combinations of things like soft deletes, or we have multi-tenancy now, hierarchical storage, and using that in combination with that compiled query feature. That's where the Link support's a little bit different. That's the part where people have really pushed on it.
Very cool. So people can go and Google for Marten, M-A-R-T-E-N, and this is part of the Jasper FX, or the Jasper framework on GitHub. It's got, as with all of your projects, really impressive documentation. It's really well organized. It's really easy to get started. And people should check that out right away. It's surprisingly easy to set up.
I hope so.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for spending time with me today.
Thanks for having me on.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.